This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right of the Real. Jimmy Means and Mr. Lawrence Silcox, Frank's father-in-law. This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right of this Real, shared by Jim Means and Mr. Lawrence Silcox. This is a continuation of Mr. Silcox. He has all of Channel 1 over. He has all of Channel 1 over. And there's another 20 minutes or so on this tape. He has all of Channel 1 over, and he has another 20 minutes on this tape. And this is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right.
Now, when I was going to school, we didn't have nothing like that.
You never did?
Mm-mm. Never saw nothing like that. And I never got but to 8th grade before I had to stop and go to Harlan Woods.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you hardly remember that. These trains, you know, burnt wood in them back
no,
in our times.
No.
Yeah, they had to cut wood 2 foot long that way.
Uh-huh.
And they built wood racks along the track, side the track, and stacked 5 cord on the rack.
Uh-huh.
The train come along, you was gone, they had a box up there to put the ticket in, and the train come along and need wood, they sometimes empty your whole rack, get every piece off of it at one time, leave your ticket in that box for you. 5 cord of wood.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Still worth the whole wood to build it up again.
Yeah. Good old hickory.
Mm-hmm. And I was hauling it when I was so small, I had to take a piece on my shoulder after I got there. Bed of the wagon up about that high, take it on my shoulder and climb the wheel to stand on the hub of the wagon wheel to get it on the wagon. Put a cord on there before I went in, too.
That's starting pretty early.
I mean.
Yes, sir.
A while ago. Yeah, that White House right there with that red top on it, red looking top.
Yeah.
Right here on this side. Well, that house was built over 65 years ago. The lady that owns it, she was born in that house.
Well, sir.
And she's about 60, between 63 and 65 now, if she ain't done 65.
Yeah.
She worked for the Liberty National Insurance Company up there. No, there was another insurance. I believe it was the Liberty, too. My oldest daughter got an insurance well up
there.
Yeah. And she thought she'd have to retire about the middle of this year, but somehow or another she said she thought we were going to let her go on the rest of this year and make up 25 years she's worked with them.
Well, sir.
So I guess she'll be retired the first of the year.
Yeah.
You know, that passed in that the insurance limits when they done that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, now she ought to be able to get along pretty well.
Ought to. Couldn't get no house to stand over 65 years with it. And that's the one her daddy and mother lived in when she was born in it.
Yeah.
And it's still a good house.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's a fact. You can't hardly find one of these concrete block houses that'll stand that long. If you do, I don't much think you can.
Yeah.
Because I've seen too many of them right here around town that ain't been up that long and done the cracking, the walls cracking.
Yeah.
Well, when they get it tight, they'll sag and here they'll go.
Yeah. Now, we must have moved on about like this, and Mr. Silcox was going to tell me something about that big tree, and I must have stopped and pulled up to the curb.
See, before I delayed...
That's that big log down there. Mm-hmm. Mr. Pfeiffer tried to get out.
He didn't know what to do, but before I'd let that much lumber lay right down on the rotted like it has, or well, I'd have got out and cut me some poles and cut me some pieces about 4, 5, or 6 feet long. I'd have got the end of that log up on one of them poles, and then I'd have kept the other about 10 or 15 foot apart, putting down another one. When the end of this log comes up there to it, it dropped on that. And that roller, you see, that means to pull it right on. They'd have pulled it right on.
On that roller?
Yes, sir. I've helped move houses where we use rollers under them. Jack the house up, you see, and put them rollers under the sills under there. They get right on.
And just keep them little, you got plenty of poles.
Oh, yeah, get plenty of poles. We'll play them right out in the woods. And he got poles enough to have got that lumber. Well, I'm satisfied there was over 500 feet of lumber in that log. Anyhow, well, 500 feet of cypress lumber was some money, you know. And it'd have been hard, because that was a good hard tree.
How long was it?
Oh, it was about 20 feet. It was between 35 and 40 inches at the top end, too.
Yeah.
In diameter.
Yeah. Good hard cypress.
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, go to a lumber yard to buy some cypress lumber now and see what they'll charge you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, this is a gas well, and Frank has the bigger. Oh, he threatens Mr. Silcox, and he calls him a pretty strong old man.
Fool, look out! I told you he was active, didn't I?
Yeah.
He ain't dead, is he?
No.
Still kicking. Rascal strong as a bull. Let him grab a hold of his hand. Squeeze him, old man. You don't want to hurt his hand. You hear that?
Well, I can.
That old man has got a lot of grip.
Let me tell you one thing.
You feel no more arms on an 80-year-old man.
Yeah.
He's tough as wet leather. I ain't kidding.
I had an uncle. He's dead now. Ukraine. You got him. And he was living at Grove Park then, and we were too. And he had a team of oxen. And he sold that oxen for $160, I think it was. Sometime during the week, and on Sunday evening, I was going around where he was and talking, going on with him. And he pulled that $160 out of his pocket in the envelope. He says, "Yeah, envelope, yeah." He says, "If you can take it, you can have it." I said, "Is that so?" He said, "Yes." I got a hold of his hand. And there's one certain way to get your hand that way, and I'm going to tell you, you can work.
Yeah.
You press hard enough, though. It's just fine. I took the $180, then I ran it down the road.
Did he holler about it?
Yeah.
Did you find him?
Yeah, not in trouble at all.
Well, no trouble. I told you had on them overalls and a watch up there, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, you took one of them watches as long as I have, and you'd be looking for it every once in a while.
What was you wanting to know?
What was that business about that log out there, Frank?
Oh, you remember the logs you pulled out that swamp for a fifer?
That's what I told him about.
You told him about
that? Well, now, how'd that go? I want to be sure I got the right one.
First of all, you told me that he sent a color fella in there with a team of mules and couldn't pull it out.
Seven head of mules.
And he went in there then and he got a steam skidder.
No, he didn't put the skidder on.
Oh, he didn't?
No, the skidder was way on around the swamp.
I see.
This was on right close to the, some timber was right close to the end of the spur.
I see.
The coast line road gone out at a load log zone.
Right south of Rochelle.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one with old man Sam Turner's place back
down
in it?
Yeah, Sam Turner.
I see. That's down the railroad track from Rochelle towards River Stick Bridge. You know where River Stick Bridge is?
Yeah.
Down in that swamp back in there.
Yeah.
You can drive down in it now.
Yeah.
You can't drive in that swamp.
No, not in the swamp.
Yeah. Well, now that's the part I couldn't get a seat because I remember, I thought, you know, I kept talking about a skidder.
Yeah.
Well, he asked me what a skidder was, and then we got to talking. And then I told him about you and them oxen, and he won't know where you live. And that's been 2 or 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
I think. And then
he
said he was going to go down and talk with him today. Come up here, he says, "I'm ready to go talk to your friend about the you saw me a friend. And I forgot the address, see. I know where the house is, but I didn't know the house number.
Yeah.
And he said he was going off down there. And I said, you go on down there and you'll find him there. But I called Granny first, see, to make sure he was home.
Well, she left us. She went on off to a party.
School class was to have a party over at her teacher's.
Now, she's how old, 72 or 4?
She'll be 72 next September. She's 71 now.
And they've been married, how many years?
58 years.
How many?
About 58 years. We were married in 15. About 65, we were married 50 years. And 55, 58, 3.
That's what it was, a long time to be looking at 101 fan.
Yes.
On the same lot, you know them lots in front of the house?
Mm-hmm.
One of them lots, he hauled timber through there with ox carts, he told me, to build some houses in Winter.
Man,
and I wasn't even born then.
Little man Valentine.
But as he can show you, I can show you where the road used to be. But I bought the same lot where that road used to run across.
Yeah.
Did he tell you about the steamboat on Santa Fe Lake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he rode on that thing.
Yeah, that's what they had these canals for, to connect them lakes, right?
That lake, that canal there came from Santa Fe Lake right out to Waterloo. They hauled turpentine. Metal was on the raft there, oranges, stuff like that. Ship grocers to Melrose that come in on that steamboat, you know, on a raft behind it.
Yeah.
Merchants will get it from that warehouse.
Did you tell you about rafting them oranges from on the high-speed side of the lake down to Prairie Creek and put them on the railroad? He didn't tell you about that? You ain't got him to talk enough. And them old piling is still in Newman's Lake where the old raft used to be.
I tell you, this many years gone by, it's hard to
remember. You know, he tells me a lot of things two or three times because he's older than he gets. But I go a long way with this man. I dealt with him a lot. So.
Like
them old poor oxen can't pull them, little old bulls he can't. He wasn't nothing to him. You know good well a mule out pull oxen.
He can't do it.
He can't. How come
he can't?
Sure, man.
He can't. Not if they'll work together. Like them would.
The mule can't outpull an ox?
No, sir. Not if they'll go together like them did.
Yeah.
You take them seven mules, couldn't move that big log. It would leave me out where it fell, right? And you had the corn and cable to it. I came up out here on the hill and hit the oxen to the end of the cable where they had the mules hit.
Yeah.
Put it right on out the front up on the hill. It's laying there with it.
Yeah.
I didn't know nobody ain't got to wait.
Well, them oxen.
So, when you give word to them when the train ride to go, they all hit it one time. Every one of them.
Yeah.
They don't want them pulling and jump back and the other one pulling.
Yeah.
That's what mules do.
Yeah.
They're bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're bad about it.
I'd hate to have to work a big team of mules.
Well, they hardly ever used over four mules in a group, you see, that way.
Yeah.
Two together, two back in, two in front.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way the oxen is, but we had three groups of them, but then there was two of them steers working higher than that. Little fellas.
Yeah.
But the machine, really.
Now, we left the garage now. We've left the garage now, and that was mighty tall talk. That mighty tall talk was Frank. And Mr. Silcox really picked up everything he said and went right along with it. That's one of the cutest things I ever saw. Here we were standing right in the middle of the floor in the back there where Frank has his garage.
Skidder out there. Who was using that?
I don't really remember who was using it. It was Pfeiffer's machinery. He just hired anybody he could get that could handle it, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way he was.
And he had that big skid out there getting stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Big upright boiler.
Yeah.
Standing up on the end that way.
Yeah.
It was hooked up with gears, you see, so that it would pull different pullers here.
Yeah.
He was hooked up that way with one of these pullers. you'd pull a different lever. You see, he'd pull that corner and cable back in the swamp, maybe 500 feet.
Yeah.
Well, then when he'd get it on the log, why, he'd just switch and catch the other pull in, release that one and put this other one again and pull the log out.
Yeah.
But there was so many disadvantages to it, to my eyes. I didn't like the thing.
There was disadvantages?
Yes, sir. Takes 2 minutes to operate it.
Oh.
If you want to do a piece of work cheap, on a cheap basis as you can, you've got to catch every art there is to it.
Yeah.
It's possible to make it accomplish you more, you see, to the time and the amount of men you're using and everything.
Yeah.
Well, now that way, he had to have one little gang to pull that cone back up.
Well, this skidder did that, you see. But now they got to cut the road and keep it opening around for the log to turn and everything like that. Well, we didn't have that trouble with our team, you see. Because
mm-hmm.
when you put a man out there cutting timber for you and he don't care whether he's cutting to your advantage or his advantage, which way the tree falls, so it falls.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut it up, you know, whatever length you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're working for yourself, you're going to either throw your timber in or out of the swamp. Then you ain't got to turn that thing, do a whole lot of cutting and everything to turn that log around there coming on out.
Yeah. Well, I never thought about that.
Well, it's a fact.
Yes, sir.
It's just like you take a log out there and going to come up through this car here. You got to hit this door, right, or hits are going to bind on that side. Maybe run against this tree or something over here on this side.
Yeah.
Then you've got a job.
And you got a job.
You've got a job. You got to get block and tackle and pull it this way to pull on out.
Yeah. Now, that really takes time.
It takes time and work, too, because you got to cut them trees down, them stumps and things like that to check that tree's against a lot of times to get it out of there.
Mm.
They've been up in the backyard that end can't swing on.
Mm-hmm. So if you was in there cutting for yourself, you'd want it all to fall the same way.
Well, either in the swamp or falling straight out from the swamp,
mm-hmm.
from where you cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've not got to turn it. You can catch on, go right on out.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of advantages in that timber work, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's dangerous work, too, cutting timber.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a snap I got into one time. I believe I told Frank about that. I was right up in that River Stick swamp, too.
Yeah.
I was cutting some trees in there, and there was somebody had been already cut over time and time again, you know, but trees that they didn't want in their orders or the sizes of it or something, why, they'd just leave it, and somebody else come along and get it.
Yeah.
And there'd been some trees cut this way, fell like here, and some more over here. It was kind of cross like that, and I was cutting a tree right here in the corner, and there was some black gums right over there. Well, the tree was going to fall in that way, because I wanted to come out this way. And as the tree fell, it hit them black gums while there was, you know, cluster like that, and it caused them to swing around. I went on the open way, you know, thought I was all right there, and by jingo, time I got there, here comes a little old, them gums are throwing the butt of it right around towards me, just like a streak almost. I just had to fall on my hands and knees and go under it.
Uh-huh.
And do it quick. Time I got just clear past it before it didn't hit me on my hands and knees, it struck the ground back of me.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I've had a lot of different experiences that way.
Yes, sir.
It's dangerous, but then the man's got to just watch.
Yeah.
If I hadn't been looking, and there's something else attracting my attention, he'd have got me right there.
Yeah.
But I was watching it.
Yes, many times it's not watching you or yourself, it's watching what the other fellas are doing.
Well, there didn't happen to be anybody else right around there.
Yeah.
Then another time I was winding, loaded some telephone poles on this same spur. I was telling you I could load a big log for Pfeiffer on.
Yeah.
And we got out a carload of them and we loaded them, and it was better raining, and poles were just as slick as a piece of that glass. to your feet, you know. You take a cypress where it's green and wet, it's just slick as glass.
Oh.
And I twisted the, we had to put two rounds of this big wire around the standards, you know. Like there's a standard here and one on that side of the flat car, and your pole's in here. You got to go around these standards here twice.
Uh-huh.
There's four strands of that stuff, that big wire, too. It's about as big as that ring there, if that was round. And I twisted it. We had to have stout poles, pieces of poles, to twist it with, you know. And I twisted the pole, one set of them, and started to get up. Let the end of the pole on one of the telephone poles to keep it from unwinding.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to get up. The train was right out there coming in to get the car. Some of them had done built it out. And the train was to take it out. Well, they yet had another set of standards there to wire. And that pole slipped out just as I went to get up and struck me up there on the head right across there.
Mm.
Man, I didn't know nothing for a little bit there. Nobody else around it.
Mm.
And one of the brakemans on there, he got up there and he had seen it. Because he was coming to the car, pulled a bumper head out to train a couple when he hit it. And he saw it. He got up there and hoped me to wire the other set of standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was out there by myself wiring up them things.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There's a lot of experience in that timber work, I'll tell you that.
Yes, sir.
And I don't get what he's supposed to get out of a job like that, really.
Yeah.
It's doing the work, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wages?
Hardly wages. Back in them times, it was real cheap.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Real cheap. Well, there was some beautiful timber then.
Oh, yes, there was some pretty timber. Now, that man Guthrie and Jackson, Bill Jackson, was that other old fellow that lived down there.
Yeah.
And they both had some real beautiful round timber, never been boxed.
Yeah.
Back in them times.
Yeah. Yeah. Jackson, that's the man's name. They still call it the old Jackson place.
Yeah. Well, there's another fella that lived below him, but I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forget the name. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Bill Jackson and Will Guthrie lived not too far apart.
Yeah.
They was kind of like brothers, helping one another out with their stock and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was tough times back then, but you know, I tell different people a lot of times, I wouldn't much care if the times now would go back to the old times and people be like the way in them times. Of course, we didn't make nothing much, nothing like that, but yet there was some peace to it, some enjoyment. Well, now if you've got a little something, you got to watch it all the time, or you don't know where you got to where you ain't.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Now, that place right there that I'll tell you about, that lady, her lot goes all the way from here down to that branch down below my house down there. Just a strip, about 100 feet, I think it is, wide. And down on that end, I've been working a garden down there every year for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The other week I just left. I got one of these little two-wheel garden tractors. Left it down there. Stayed there all the year, all last year. And this year I left a piece of a jug of gasoline sitting by a tree there, right close to where the tractor was. Somebody was good enough to go along there and shot a hole through the jug with a little old air gun, and part of my gas had run out.
Yeah.
Well, now they could have took something if they wanted to, just as easy as that.
Yeah.
Educated they get, the more important they think they are. They just think they ain't got nothing to do and don't care nothing about somebody else's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've been going in the woods and working in the woods and happened on somebody's cow down out there on the lift. Couldn't stand up, couldn't get up. So they lay right there and starve to death. I'd help that cow up. Well, maybe up in the summer I'd see it again, it would be fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've helped them up. But I'll tell you one thing, if you ever help one up that way, don't appear how gentle they seem to be. You better look out, because they're going to try to fight you.
Yeah.
When you help them up off the lift, 9 times right then, if you can't get behind a tree or something right quick,
yeah.
If they can't see you, they'll try to run after you and fall again.
Yeah.
I've helped them up 2 and 3 times that way before I can get away from them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Going to Cypress Pond, getting out this cypress timber out there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe grew up in tie-tie bushes. Just have them up on one laying in there. Just in salt, kind of soft mud.
Uh-huh.
You help her up. She'd go on. She'd jump behind the bushes so that she couldn't see you.
Yeah.
She'd go on out.
Uh-huh. But if she
left her there 2-3 days more, she'd been dead.
Yeah. She just starved to death.
Starved to death.
How do you get a hold of them when you're helping them out?
Well, you catch a hold of them and pull them. We generally catch a cow by the tail and pick right up on her, you know. That helps her to get her hind feet straight. Well, then if she can't get her front feet straight, go right up by her side and get her by the horns. You can help her up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Don't take too much help.
Oh, I see.
Well, what they can help themselves is.
Yeah.
They're going to try after you make a move. As they move, they're going to try, because no telling how many days they've been laying there in that one place, one position.
Yeah. Well, you know, them old woods cows, I'd hate to get close to them horns.
One time I found one not too far from Lockaloosa Lake over there on the south, on the north. Northwest corner of the lake, kind of off out the country, and she'd been eating moss out of at the edge of a little old open pond, you know. I reckon she went and got water and went eating some of that moss, and it was a little too high. She was trying to rear it up and put her feet up on the tree that way to reach the moss, and her feet slipped off and her head come right down in a fork that way, and there she was. You couldn't get her head through, and you couldn't get her body through.
But
the only thing I done is cut the tree off under here with an axe. Got it in front of her and cut the tree there where I could break it over. Then I got off to the side and put the axe against the tree, and me hold the handle and I pushed the tree and let it fall on over that way. And she got out, and I mean she left there.
Yeah.
She hadn't got numb. Just as she wasn't laying down, she was standing up, and she kept moving her legs about.
Yeah.
But she was digging holes there, stone pick.
Yeah. I'm telling you. You know, I've wondered about that a lot of times. So many things happen to animals.
Yeah.
Even when you got them up where you see them.
Sure. If you don't see them every day to protect them, kind of why, you can't tell.
And you just wonder how, what would really happen to them, you see, out where in the wild, where
that's
nothing
right.
That will help
that's
them.
Right.
You take, I don't know how this works out, but you take, that quarter's gone.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. It'll run. Now, on this grove I was telling you about, the man had, 3 heads of milk cows there, and had, a Jersey and a Holstein mixed and a Guernsey cow. Well,
and that's it. My tape ran out. And Mr. Silcox didn't get to finish that story, but it was marvelous. Just one fine story, sequence, experience after another. He'll just pick up, he just picks up every little suggestion, and away he goes. Now, he seems just a little bit hurried. I think if I got acquainted with him a little better, where he didn't feel that he had, that he could slow down, I think his stories would be just marvelous. But this is rich. This is just rich. Well, my impression of him is a little different from what Frank gives me of him. Frank talks about him being rough and vigorous. He seems to me to be just extraordinarily gentle. He may see roughness, but he's not rough. And he tells all those experiences. But he didn't have Mr. Patterson's storytelling, the framework of them. They're circumstantial. And you see one little, the cow is down, and he's circumstantial. He remembers how he cut the tree down, the one where the cow had her head in the forks, and pushed it over, and one thing and another. I didn't try to visualize it. Now, you see, his statement of it, of his experience being better than education, is, of course, I grew up under that idea. It's just about gone now. Education's taken over. Now, that's not what interests me. What interests me is that with education, they don't have the experience, in the sense I'm talking about. They don't remember it. They don't live with it. They don't study it. And that's a great loss. And when Mr. Silcox says, he talks it over with people. Times back then were tough, but a man could live in some peace. I'd say a man could live in his experience. This is 360. This is 360. This is 360. And the end of Mr. Silcox's first tapes. He filled up channel one over. He filled channel one over. And now on channel two right up to 360. Or 365. Now, this is the end of Mr. Silcox's tape. On Friday, the 20th of December, 1968. On Friday, the 20th of December, 1968, that afternoon. I'd had the flu, and Faye had the flu, and she was having music, a little music to do. We drove by the house, and so many cars were parked out there, we couldn't go in. On Friday, the 20th of December, 1968, and this is up to the 370 now, and the end of Mr. Silcox's first tape. He filled up channel one right, and now he has 375 on channel two right. He filled up channel one over, and now up to 375 on channel two right.